Call the meeting to order, please. Stand for a salute to the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Open the floor for public comment. Maxine?
First of all, I want to thank the board and the workers for fixing our water system. We look forward to a better winter than last one, and hopefully all is well. The next thing I'd like to ask about the speed limit reductions. Was this passed last meeting?
It was not. It was determined that it had to be reviewed by the village attorney, who is reviewing it. And so we will be discussing that some tonight.
Okay.
But it is not, it hasn't come to pass yet. And there will have to be, prior to any approval, there would have to be a public hearing because it would be a change in the law.
Right.
So finalization probably, realistically, probably wouldn't be till the 1st of January.
Okay, so we have...
At best.
Okay. I just wanted to mention, going forward, I'm glad there's a process involved before it would be changed. I think that the speed limits lowered on the side streets, which were mentioned, where there is just local usage and there are families with children, I certainly think that's reasonable. That would be reduced to 25 miles an hour.
That's what we're looking at.
Right. That's
25
that makes,
now, right?
Not that
20.
Makes very
25
good sense.
Yeah, 25.
Okay, good.
Right.
Is that...
On Elm Street, lowering the speed limit does not make reasonable or rational sense to below what it is now, 30 miles an hour. It's the same as we have here. I'm just putting that forward because I think we want to create a safe and sound environment. I'm out frequently at different hours, and I have not seen a speed limit excess by many drivers. I have found that if there is a concern, the best way to do that would be a flashing speed limit sign that we have coming into the village on Albany Avenue. I just want to mention that there would need to be, for me, a demonstrable need to have this speed limit lowered before I would think that was a reasonable and rational way to go. Thank you.
John?
A lot of surveying going on. Are they going to do the drainage over or something?
No, the survey, surveying is, we're doing a sidewalk survey for one thing.
Okay.
We're looking at making the central part of the village here more walkable. So we're looking at John Street, Fairview, Fairgrounds Avenue, and Chatham Street.
That's where I see it.
Upgrading the sidewalks there. I don't think the rail trail people are doing it, although I did see some people out on the trail a little bit for the survey people, but they're not doing a lot yet. You'll see more presence from them next year.
Are they going to do Church Street too?
Church Street is not on this project, but we're holding that off to see about the Main Street grant, because that is Main Street. So, but if not, we'll look at addressing that one at a future date. Anything else?
To mention that maybe the garbage down at the park be emptied weekly. I know when we went there for the Nassau Fest, the one garbage can inside the wooden box was chock full of dog poop.
Huh. Well, I would think they would be emptied on a regular basis.
I mean, they're not.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just making, maybe we can ask Jay and
yep.
you know, do that weekly, because it's still sitting down there.
I think they should do it more than weekly.
Well, I'm just asking weekly.
A couple times a week, at least.
Thank you.
I know I'm after them for the batteries.
Well, yeah.
It's another issue. Do you want to step out, Randy?
Yeah. I'm going to step off the bench or whatever as a resident of the village. And I got to read this because... something my wife and I prepared, but first of all, my wife and I would like to thank all the volunteers in the village. They put countless hours to help to improve the sense of community, including everyone up on the bench too. There have been numerous positive changes within the village. Many of the houses that were once empty are now occupied. And families are restoring their historic structures and calling us all their home, which is a good direction of our village, okay? We personally are really excited about the funds that are being raised by some of those volunteers for the pavilion. With that in mind, our neighbor and friend Mick Conley had world-renowned historical and marine artist Len Tertill do a rendering of what the pavilion would look like when it is completed. And we want the village residents in the bicentennial committee and the board to kind of look at this rendering and see what they think. It's on loan because he did it, but it's going to be here in the village hall. But wanted to kind of give you an idea of what he did. Okay, he included in his drawing. I'll turn it around for you guys. The post office and okay, and kind of an idea of how to tie it into the rail trail. Okay. And put people in there to make it look good. Okay, so I don't know if anybody's here on the bicentennial committee or
Gloria is,
yeah. But I'll just turn it around real quick. But this is the rendering that.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Some people question about the archway and stuff. Well, he went to a little bit more distance and found a contractor out in Western New York that could build this. Don't know any cost, okay, but it's something we should think about to make things look a little bit better in the village.
Well, I think if we're going to spend the money, we should get what we want.
Right, but, you know, and with that in mind, that we also have to consider we need to have engineering done until we just can't go it up. But I'm going to leave it here on loan. He'd like it back, okay? Mm-hmm. But normally he charges a lot of money for these things, but he did it as a favor to the village. So I'm going to leave it here for a while.
Well, pass our thanks on to him.
What's that?
Pass our thanks on to him.
Yeah, so just think about it. You know, it's kind of neat.
Okay. And archway sort of goes with a pavilion too, because they got a little arch there.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
I think it looks great.
Kicker too, the flags on top.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it's just something we should think about. Okay.
Very nice.
All right, that's all I need.
Thank you, Randy.
Yeah.
Could you give us his address so we can send
something?
Okay.
Get
his address.
Yeah, I'll get it. Okay.
But what size was that, you know?
That's, you know, I guess there was a discussion that's 40 or 45 or 60. But the final plans aren't done, but that design can be incorporated in anything. Okay. But just something to think about.
Looks nice.
Yeah, it looks great.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Anything else? Okay. Approve the minutes for the August meeting. I'll make a motion. Motion by Guy.
Second.
Second by Randy. Any question on the minutes? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Treasurer's report for August.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Guy.
Second
by Randy. Any questions on the treasurer's report?
I just have one thing to point out. The zoning contractual is overdrawn.
Mm-hmm.
And by law, we cannot spend any more money until that's balanced. In that line.
Okay.
What line item was it?
Zoning, personal services?
No, contractual.
Or contractual? So that's 8204.1.
Payday. Yep.
So, right? 104.1. So we're over by $2,000. Well, we start out with 1500. See what's charged off today.
Well, we can approve the report.
Just make a resolution to move some money over to it. That's all. Let me take a look at it and see what we can get. We can get it from you. Missy, do you know what's being charged against that account?
I don't know. It's not a number I usually use.
It's from the
services?
It's their zoning contractual. So it would seem like it's...
Oh, maybe it's the... Oh, I know what it is. It's that planning...
Oh.
It's Nan.
It's Nan.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Okay, so we need to... So we had approved up to... I think we approved up to $12,000, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So we should put that in the budget then.
Yeah.
From, we'll take it out of fund balance. So let me add that to my resolutions here. Resolutions. Move. $12,000 fund balance. To, what is it, 84?
80104.
8014.
8014.
04.
Dot one, right? No, dot.
8014.
80104. Yeah, right. Never mind, dot one. Okay. See. Okay. Any other questions on this? Entertain a motion to accept the treasurer's report.
Well, we did that
already.
But we just
got to
vote.
Oh, did we? Oh, yeah. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. You have the 2018 annual report. We reviewed the draft over the summer, and this is the final thing for final report for filing.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Guy.
Second.
Second by Randy. Any questions on the annual report? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Okay. Report of departments, Highway Department.
No correspondence.
I don't see it. There's no correspondence. Any correspondence?
No.
No. Highway Department.
You want me to read it? Because
where is it? Yeah, read it, Randy. Where?
Okay.
Thank you.
They mowed the grass and weed whacked around the village, cleaned up around the pond. If anybody's noticed, the pond, okay, you can walk around the pond now. It looks nice. The pond is actually looking nice. So Pete and our summer worker kind of did a lot of that while Jay was on vacation. I think it really looks great. Picked up some, they call it dead critters. I don't know. Okay. Delivered trash cans to somebody in the village. I don't know who. Laurie will make sure they empty the garbage. Okay. Put up the tents for the events at the Commons. They cleaned the shop, worked on the mowers, took down our old garden over on the side. Okay. Patched some potholes, delivered mulch to the Commons for Jeanette, who was doing the work over there, and worked on some catch basins and kept the drainage during the last month.
All right. Go on with water.
Okay, I want to thank everybody for their patience for the valve replacement project and also the tank cleaning and repairing. It kind of went like clockwork with the tank being taken out of service. It was drained. There was a cracked fill pipe that had to be replaced and a couple anodes in the bottom of the tank that needed to be replaced, and they replaced those. They pressure washed the inside of the tank. The tank looked, I was actually up there when they were doing it. The inside of the tank looks like it's brand new. Statewide Aquastore were the builders of the tank, and they actually did the repair and the cleaning. They judged the tank to be in excellent condition. They ran all the samples, compliance with Rensselaer County Health Department. And so it went good. They ran all the routine samples. With the tank being empty, they had to run a couple more coliform tests, four of them, and they all came back negative. We use an AC unit in the electrical shed to kind of keep the telemetry and electronics cool during the hot weather, which we had quite often this summer. Well, that air conditioner went bad. Okay, so we had to replace it, so we replaced that through quotes from three different people. We took the lowest quote. They painted the pump house. I can actually officially say that Pete is now a licensed water operator. After it takes a while to get your license, and Amanda from the health department came out and gave him an on-spot test and quiz, so he'll have his official license in I think 1 month or so. Jay's is up for renewal, so he's taking online classes. So that's going to be Jay's project now to get his license renewed. If anybody's noticed, I'm Westbrook Drive, 42. Laurie, that's around the corner, right? Okay. There was originally a fire hydrant in a person's lawn, middle of the lawn. So and we had some problems with that fire hydrant. So when we did the valve replacement, we actually took that hydrant out and put one closer to the road that now will service the community better. So that was kind of part of the, I think it was a change order on the completed work. And then they shut off a couple on 15, they shut off water on 15 Lake Ave and 21 Westbrook. And our water usage has been on the average about 94,000 gallons a day for last month. So it's come down quite a bit. Okay. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Police Department.
Officer Jones filed a written report for August. During the month, there were 6 arrests, 28 incidents, 72 traffic tickets issued. 21 of those tickets were for speeding, including 5 tickets for speeding in excess of 20 miles over the speed limit. Average speed over the speed limit was 16.3 miles per hour. 9 tickets for running a stop sign or a red light, 7 for operating a motor vehicle using a cell phone or texting, and 2 for seatbelt related violations. We had 2 impaired driving arrests. One was for driving while ability impaired from drugs. The second was for aggravated DWI. Individuals pulled over for a minor traffic violation on Albany Avenue. Ended up with a blood alcohol level of 0.20, 2.5 times the legal limit. The department also responded to several citizen assist requests, domestic dispute, several reckless driving complaints, several civil issues, a larceny incident involving bicycles, and an incident involving a juvenile possessing a weapon and menacing others. As well as an assortment of other incidents throughout the month. the details are in the written report. Unit 602, the 2016 Ford Interceptor Utility, has approximately 25,000 miles on it. And 603, the Crown Victoria, has 49,600 miles on it. Officer Menudo was promoted to the rank of Major in his position as a mobilization readiness officer, a full-time position in the Army National Guard. I want to congratulate him on that achievement and thank him for his continued service. Thank
you. Nice. Okay. Dave Grunberg?
Nothing to report other than we're working on the zoning changes, which seems to be a long process, but we should have something hopefully, I think, in about 2 months or so. A couple more meetings to nail down the final stuff.
Okay. Trustees, Randy, anything?
No.
Guy?
I just have a couple of small ones. just want to close the loop on the grant application. So on August 16th, I want to report that I completed the application for the intersection of 203 and Route 20 redesign, as well as the sidewalk on both Albany Ave and Church Street. That was submitted on August 16th. We should be hearing back one way or another by the end of the year. While the summer is just about over, as we have found out in the last couple days, the past month was full of events for kids and families around the village and town. And I'm sure we'll hear more about that later, but I just wanted to thank all the folks around the village and town who work to put on these wonderful events and continue to ensure that the village remains a great place to live and raise a family. Quick update on the Albany Hudson Electric Trail. This month I spoke with Andy Beers, who's the project lead for the whole Empire State Trail, as well as Scott Keller, who's the executive director of the Greenway, which is the agency overseeing the project, regarding the redirection of the grant funds that we received a couple of years back to do some engineering work around the trail that we no longer need to do since the state took over the project. We had requested to have those funds diverted or redirected to pay for some of the pavilion at the Commons. They needed some additional information from me on the regards to the budget, so I was able to give that to them. The request is scheduled to go in front of the Greenway Grants Committee in October. And after that meeting, they'll have their official decision, so we should hear sometime shortly about that. From the tone of the conversations I've had with both Mr. Keller and Mr. Beers, I don't think there's going to be any issue, but you know, they're not willing to make they can't make an official decision without that committee overseeing it. So it's not a done deal yet. Hopefully we'll be able to do that. There was in the amount of $18,300, so hopefully we'll be able to get that diverted. Mr. Beers also asked while we were talking about if there were any remaining concerns about the trail within the village, because they're about to release final plans and specifications for the trail so they can go out to bid for the contract for construction. And I related that there were still some concerns regarding the area between Route 20 and the Commons and sort of how that's being used now. The design of the trailhead at the Commons, and that there continued to be some concern from landowners on Elm Street, adjacent landowners. And he said he would follow up on those issues, and I did, I think it was Monday, might have been yesterday, I did see a design for the trailhead. I think you might have already seen it, Bob.
I got one when I met with him. Okay. I don't know if it's the same one. That was like 3 weeks ago.
It was probably the same one. I don't think it's changed. But it laid out, I'll send a copy out, but because I don't think it's made public yet. But it laid out with the common, you know, where the parking.
There's some parking spaces.
They're going to improve the parking in the commons area and allow for parking.
On either side of the trail.
On either side of the trail. When the baseball mm-hmm. field is being used, so there's, you know, how the parking is being used now, I think, is pretty much the way it's going to be used then, you know, mm-hmm. even after the trail comes, so there won't be any disruption.
Okay.
So, but there's still, I know.
And it looks like from the pavilion, it's going to be over where it's kind of stepped up, so it's not even going to interfere with the parking for the ballpark.
Cool. No. At least it shouldn't. I mean. I guess we'll find out.
Well, I mean, you know, when the games are on there, a lot of folks park up along Route 20. They back in perpendicular to the street. And that's going to be allowed to continue. Once this is done, they can come up into the park, turn and go down the trail. They can drive down the trail and be able to park between John Street and the trail. So just like they're doing now. And they understand that parking is necessary.
And then the other thing he asked about was the maintenance agreement. Did he talk to you about that?
I did not talk to him about that.
Okay.
For mowing the grass?
Yeah.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. I think they might want something in writing.
Yeah.
Are they going to pay for any of that?
They have offered us a piece of equipment.
They're going to buy us a mower.
But they have not, they won't pay for the actual mowing, like the salaries.
Well, so, we do it anyway. Right.
Yeah. So, no big deal.
And then just the last thing, I know it's been brought up the last couple of meetings about the speed trailer. I also spent a few days working with Officer Jones on trying to retrofit the mobile speed trailer with a solar charging system. And after a crash course in battery charging systems, both solar and otherwise, care of google.com, and physically examining the current charging system, what we're going to need to do is buy two pieces of equipment. One is the solar panel that obviously catches the energy from the sun. But the other is the solar charge controller. And what this does is it, feeds the appropriate amount of energy into the battery bank. So it charges the battery and doesn't overcharge the battery but manages that. The complication with the current system is that we have a charger for it already. It works off, AC. So we have to get something that's compatible. So I have a call into the manufacturer, IOTA controllers or energy or something like that. The controller we have now, the charger, is actually pretty sophisticated, which I was surprised. It's the one that is still in use today for most AC chargers in industrial uses. So, but the reason I call them is because I want to make sure that I want to get their recommendation on the controller so that we know it's going to work. Basically, they have to talk to one another essentially, because if it's plugged in and the solar's on at the same time, they have to be able to know, okay, well, don't put all that energy into the batteries, because then you overcharge the batteries and reduces the life of that. I'm thinking, given what I've seen from pricing on these pieces of equipment, I think for the entire retrofit, maybe $500 to $1,000 it would cost. That's if we don't need to replace the current batteries. If we need to replace the current batteries, which there's three of, we're probably talking another $500 or $600. But I'm not going to replace the batteries until we do this and figure out if we have to. So that's where we are now. I've learned actually quite a bit about these battery things, so it's pretty neat.
And what do these units go for if you were to buy another?
Oh, just replace the whole thing?
Just buy another sign thing with a battery,
solar. Yeah, with solar built in. So we looked at those, and they start at $4,500, and they can get anywhere up to $10,000. So I figured this is worth a try before we invest that kind of money.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Yeah, because believe me, we were kind of frustrated with this for a while, so we were thinking, well, at one point I threw my hands up and started looking for that. I'm like, no, we'll go back and we'll learn how to do this. So I think we have a good lead on this. And once I heard back from the manufacturer, we should be able to purchase the right equipment. Not have a problem with it. So.
Very good. Anything else? Go ahead, Randy.
I forgot to mention, next Saturday the 22nd, the town of Nassau is having their fall and Harvest Fest and History Fest. Up at the VFW, it's free to the public. This year's theme for the Harvest Fest is the trolley line. And what it did to our village when it was here, economic. I believe the Ventura County historian is speaking on that. And I believe somebody sitting in the audience is speaking too, Kurt. Okay. And actually Andy Beers is coming. Speak on the rail trail.
Okay. 22nd, you said?
22nd, next Saturday from, I think it's 11 to 4? 11 to 4. And this year, a lot of stuff for the kids. It's free to the public. There's going to be music there, entertainment again, four different groups of entertainment. But I think we got a lot of pictures of the old trolley line going across the bridges, and so I think it's going to be tying probably our village bicentennial into this festival. So you're around, come on up. Hot dogs, chili, ice cream.
11 to 4?
11 to 4. And, pumpkin painting for kids, and soap making for kids, and a lot of stuff. Okay, so come up and see us.
Okay. David?
Yeah, I'm actually just wanted to talk a little bit about the zoning review committee. I know it's underway. I just want to, you know, advise the committee, especially the guys who are on the board, just also look out for the business owners as well, you know, for their best interest. We want to attract businesses and, you know, not make it too strict to where they don't want to come here. There's too many hoops and hurdles to get through. And also, I was wondering, is there a preliminary, do you have anything that you can send to us board members thus far so we can review it, and if there's any questions, just so we don't have to have the extra expense of changing things, you know, down the road if there are some things
Right now, there's a lot of moving parts, so.
That's what I'm saying.
But I can tell you one thing we were looking at with the business district was allowing residential units on the upper floors.
On the upper floors.
Making it legal. I mean, it's happening. Okay. We all know it.
Right.
But, you know.
Well, that's what most places do anyway. They have the upper floors. But, you know, I heard there might be, you guys might want to restrict Airbnb, which I think would be a foolish mistake, because people who do Airbnb, they take care of their properties very thoroughly, and they get reviewed on both ends. So those are the people who are actually going to take care of their properties, because, you know, that's what their business depends on. So I would, you know, if you have anything that's going to prevent that, I would definitely reconsider taking that out. You know, I'm very familiar with that company and how it works, and it actually makes people put time and money into their properties.
What is it?
Airbnb.
Don't
it's like a, it's like a, and if we have the rail trail, people might want to come here, you know. And
you rent an apartment out over the internet.
It's like, yeah, you rent out a room.
Somebody rents it
part
for
of
a
your
week
room
or whatever.
For a week room or
that already happens.
Well, exactly, but you know, I'm just letting you guys know, you know, if you really should consider, you know, keeping that in there, because people do take care of their properties. Even more than having somebody who comes in, you know, fixes a property, puts in a tenant in there, and then doesn't pay attention to it. So I'd rather see Airbnb than, you know, renters, to be honest with you. So if you have anything, if you could send that over, that'd be appreciated. And I'm glad to see what's going on here. We're making things happen, so it's good progress. That's it.
Okay. So just to carry on from that, I've been working on the zoning updates. We, as Dave Gruenberg reported earlier, we're getting down towards the end. We still have a lot of moving parts yet, but some of the major things that we're looking at is a zombie law, so that we abandoned properties aren't just left to rot. So there's some kind of control. We know who's taking care of them. There's a responsible person for us to speak with. We're looking at some, looking at our property maintenance laws to see what we have and see if we can make those improved on those, so that we can help the residents keep up with that kind of stuff. We're redefining, you know, whose responsibility it is to do what in the zoning, whether it's going to be code enforcement or zoning. Building inspector, because looking to separate those two positions, and so we want to have a clear, make it clear in the law whose responsibilities are which, so that we don't have the issues we've had for the last, as long as I've been here anyway, as to whose job it is to do things. So, so we're working on that, and been a lot going on. And I do want to thank Randy for all the work he's done on the water system over the last month, getting the tank taken care of, getting the water valves replaced. I know I was out of town a lot for August, and I appreciate that he stepped up to the plate and took care of things. So I just want to say thank you for a job well done.
Okay.
Okay, clerk.
Yeah, I have a few things. Water bills for October are done. They've already been turned over to the county. I'm waiting for them to be printed, and then we'll get those out. Cleanup day for October 13th is 9 to noon, and I'm looking into see if we're going to have shred day as well. Kind of have a little glitch with that. It's not exactly free anymore, so I'm still looking into that. It used to be free for a couple
exactly
of years.
Exactly free. Not exactly is not free.
Well, it's kind of free, but they kind you have to free. Meet a certain minimum, and then a portion of it can be donated to where we picked the resource center.
Okay.
And it's complicated, but anyways, if it's not, if I can get it to happen, we will have shred day as well. Primary day is tomorrow between, here's the voting place for our area, and it's 12 to 9.
Probably in the world.
And lastly, just want to remind you that hydrant flushing is October 2nd and 3rd, so you want to take caution that day. Oh, and Randy, you wanted to talk about the water bond reduction?
It's on the resolution.
Yeah, we'll talk about
it. Oh, okay. All right, that's it for me.
Thanks, man.
Code enforcement, there's a report in your packet.
All right, the person we hired, Fred, decided that he didn't want to take the job. So now we are at the beginning stages again to find somebody to take the code enforcement position. So Bob and I discussed this before the meeting. We have a candidate in mind, and this month we're going to see if we can put together an interview and get somebody into that position. And that's it for that. I'll go right on to animal control.
Paul's here.
Paul is here, so he'll, you know, fill you in. But, you know, Fred keeps kind of sandbagging us, you know, if you want to go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you if it is, the guy's still there. Everything is still there. Everything's the same. Nothing has changed. I talked to him on the phone just before I came here. And I said, I thought you would be moved. He said, no. Things go up, things go down. One time I go up, you know, and he said he couldn't find the keys to the car. I don't know why you need keys to a car that's a junk. But he said, that's blowing. He said, don't worry, everything is going. I said, what about the cats? He said, the cats are going too. He's missing five. I have no idea what you guys are going to do, but it's sad. The guy ain't made it. He hasn't moved one thing over there. It's just sad. And I've been involved in this thing.
So he's a tenant, right?
Pardon?
He's a tenant.
Squatter. He's a squatter is what he is.
Yeah,
he's
I a squatter? Believe the bank is going to step in. I did speak to him this
well,
week.
I think we should look at writing a letter to the bank. Because the property, I think, is becoming a health hazard.
Well, it just got turned over to the bank. It auctioned on the 11th, so I don't know the result of that yet. It could be turning over very soon for us. And I did turn all the pictures over to the bank Monday.
Who was the defendant? Who was the owner?
It's now back to Wells Fargo.
Okay, but I mean, what was the name of the owner?
The owner was Millhouse, but they're not there. It's just
no, I understand.
Squatters living there.
But you heard at the referee sale that the bank bid it in?
The bank got it back at an auction last month, and then it was...
August 11th? You said the 11th? August 11th?
No, then it was relisted for a bidding auction that ended on the 11th online. So, last
Dave,
I
would
saw...
the bank still have to go through the
it was up to 65,000.
And sheriff and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're looking at a couple months if he doesn't want to get out, even if the bank does
yeah,
that.
It's faster. In other words, once you're the new owner, it's a fairly fast eviction proceeding.
There's still a notice to quit, though, right?
Yeah, but I don't think it's a very long one. I don't know if it's 3 days or 10 days, but it isn't like 30 days to terminate tenancy or, you know, any of that stuff. It's over.
All right. So I guess once we find out, we got to get in touch with the bank and see if we can get them to at least serve a notice to quit. You know, that's the first thing to
do.
The bank won't.
Well, I just spoke to the bank on Monday, and they just took ownership. So they are really surprised that I sent 30 pictures over.
If you speak to
so
them,
I really think things are going
to
happen
now. If you speak to them again, can you ask them to actually send a notice to quit to the residents?
The thing of it is,
so that starts
move.
The process.
They start moving things, okay? They start getting rid of their junk. This guy hasn't moved one thing.
Well, that's what we got.
Off the yard, but they moved a couple truckloads out of the house.
He's going to have to be evicted is what's going to have to happen. I think that's the best way to go at this point.
Well, the bank didn't know. Like they said, the eviction was served to the Millhouse.
And I said, well, that's not going to do you any good because they're not even there.
Right.
I said,
there's
squatters living in the house. So I gave the bank all the information that I had on file, faxed it all over, and they were surprised. So I really think that something's going to move.
I'll come by tomorrow morning. Can you just have some information for me tomorrow?
I'm telling you the information right now.
I'll
you.
I'll call the bank, too.
But you're not going to... Okay,
all right. Whatever. Well, don't want me to do it.
I've been involved in this since, I believe, May.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I mean, he hasn't moved one thing. I think he may even brought more in. I don't know.
It's been 3 years.
I mean, he thinks he's got his own private junkyard. But, you know, it's just sad. It's just sad that it's going on this long.
Do you agree, Dave, that at this point,
we'll see if the bank will be active. I mean, I guess if you have the contact information, Missy, about who to contact, you can send it to me, you can send it to Dave.
I'd like to see, I think our attorney should write a letter.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, just give me
Talk about the 25 cats that are there and, the smell and, it being a health hazard.
Do we know the name of the squatter?
Yep, I'll send you all the information.
Okay. Yeah.
And I haven't been in that garage since I took those pictures.
Mm.
So I don't know if I haven't been back there. When me and Jones went there, it was picked up. But
at this point, we're spinning our wheels here with the board, with you. It's got to go through the bank. I think the eviction process is the best way to go. So,
we'll see what they can do. You give me the contact information of the bank, I'll call them. I mean, they want to get rid of these
things. Can you follow up with me and let me know what's going on?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll let everybody know what's going on.
The other thing I had was I got a call for a sick raccoon down on John Street. Me and a trooper went down, but by the time we got there, the thing was gone. Pretty sure it was rabid, the way the woman described it. But I couldn't find it. Well, that's all.
Has it been seen since?
Huh?
Has it been seen since it was reported?
I haven't received any more calls.
No.
So I think what you got to do is the residents, instead of calling the village clerk, call the police or just call 911.
Yeah, because we're not always here, so.
I was at Cumberland Farms and I talked to the trooper. He went down, I went home and got my truck because I didn't know if I was going to have to shoot the damn thing if I could find it, but I didn't find it, so. But it's sad. This is the first one I've had in the village.
Mm.
That's it.
Community revitalization?
No report. Just waiting to hear back regarding the grant. That'll be in December.
Village beautification?
We're in the high season of community events. Last Saturday, the Nassau Fest went. Attendance was down a little bit. We survived. We broke kind of even, if I can use Melissa's terminology. And in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the 30th is the Oktoberfest. Hopefully we'll have good weather and we'll have a rock'em sock'em day on that. 12 to 4, it's very short. Please come, we'd love to have your participation. The tulips have arrived around my back porch, so they'll be going out sooner than later. I have to do a little instruction sheet. Remind people how deep the pink. Oh, you got more? Yeah, because we're getting towards the end of
there's mine.
So just to remind you that the beautification committee has purchased 1,000 red tulip bulbs that will be given away free of charge to residents who promise to plant them in a location that is visible from the highways and byways. It's not intended for non-village residents. It's not intended for backyards, but somewhere where people can see them. I've spoken with all the churches. They've all been given the information. Three have responded. Three of the five have responded. Nassau School, library, of course, the village square. I'd like to put him on the bridge, but I don't know if you'd ever see him with all the flags down there. We'll have to wait and see. So hopefully that'll work well. Some people are very concerned because they think the deer are going to eat them, which is a safe assumption. Maybe if we have so much deer food, they'll go away. They'll be satisfied.
Moles eat them too.
I don't know.
They eat the bulbs, moles.
Yeah, that's problem I've always had in my...
Yeah, that's what I always have too, but I'll put them in.
Historic preservation. I noticed it appears that someone's living in 32 Church Street. I saw someone coming out with garbage the other day, which is the house next to Chandler's on the...
That's the blue house.
The west side, the double house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's kind of surprising because it doesn't exactly look too habitable. And they certainly don't have a lawnmower. So hope we don't have squatters there. Otherwise, that's all it's quiet on that front.
Check on that.
Have a suspicion
that was sold over the summer.
Lori will talk about bicentennial issues. Our meeting will be Monday at 7 o'clock. Both groups will meet next Monday. And if I may beg your indulgence, I did send correspondence to the board on behalf of the library. Did that get received?
Nope, it's here.
It's here, okay.
You're right, there was correspondence because I did see that letter. There it is right here.
Hey, Jim, where do we get these forms for the two bulbs?
In my office.
You have them? Okay, thanks.
I have some more, too.
So basically, we appreciate the fact that you assisted in putting in the little library, which is the name of the unit. However, we would have liked to have been consulted as to the location. I know we spoke about the village commons and the issues with the weather and all of that, and as far as I know, we weren't really settled. So we're kind of surprised that it ended up in Ben Stanley Park. Now, just to make it clear, and I apologize if this was my mistake, it is not a Boy Scout project. It is a project of the library. The library has been contemplating a couple of these things for the last 2 or 3 years, more as a marketing tool than anything else. We want people to know that there's a library in Nassau, to have the ability to take things out free of charge, and then maybe, just maybe, they'll come up to the main branch, as I called it, on Church Street, and get involved with all the programs and all the books and all the different things. So whether or not this location serves that purpose, we don't know. We're going to take a wait-and-see attitude for about 6 months, and I will report back. And we may say we'd really like to move it because it's just not serving the needs that we thought we would get out of it. And obviously, the question about snow plowing is totally irrelevant because that doesn't get plowed any more than the Village Commons gets plowed. So that's that.
Well, I just have one question, though.
Yes.
After I read your letter, I did look back to the notes that I had and the emails from the young man, and he didn't present it like that. He presented it as an Eagle Scout project to the board that night.
The construction Scout project with the approval of the library. And
that's
when he came to present it to the library board, at that time he hadn't come to the village board, so obviously we could not say where it's going to be done. I believe that there was a time factor that the project had to be completed.
Yeah, it had to be completed.
By a specific
so.
Date for him to be eligible for the status. So that probably had something to do.
Yeah.
As
when
well.
He suggested his things that night, the library, those were the areas he suggested. The park over there.
But unfortunately, I think he kind of...
Right, so it was a misunderstanding. But
is it easily moved?
No, it's been... Concrete's been poured.
Well,
okay.
Can be moved.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. We prefer not to have to do it, but that's why we're gonna see how things go over there. And you know, somebody said, well, it's good because there's mothers and children. Well, yes, that's true. But we're also looking for seniors and older people and everybody. So we're gonna wait and see what goes and see what doesn't go. Because now that it's done, that scout is gone. He's never gonna touch that again. It's now up to the library to maintain it and keep it in good condition and keep stock in there, so we should know how that goes.
Huh. Yeah.
I believe that's it.
Bicentennial, Lori?
Randy, Melody, thank you. The beautiful rendering. I have a picture and send it to the rest of the committee. So the Bicentennial Committee, we've been busy. I want to thank Maxine for coming out last minute for our taco party on August 11th. The weather did not cooperate at all. It poured the entire day. But we had a good turnout, all in all. People got together, and we're all having dinner, which was nice. The Committee is planning a paint and sip on October 5th at the Nassau Ambulance. It's $35 per person, and you'll go home with a masterpiece that you're going to create. It's going to be a Halloween theme. We've received two sponsorships towards the pavilion, one from SNS Brewery, and the other one from Otterback Builders, so they're starting to...
Another one today from Nassau Back.
I forgot, Nassau Vet, which is now called CVP, Community Veterinarian Partners. So we've received three, and we have a couple events planned in the fall, November. I think it's going to be like a chili type cook-off or a party. So stay tuned for more information.
Laura, do you want me to get Len's address and give it to you? Or?
Yes, okay. Yeah, just email me or text me.
Yeah, because I got to get it from Mickey.
Yep, thank you.
Okay.
So since you brought that up, this was brought to my attention by several residents. It's absolutely a marvelous looking design. I believe you all, did you talk about it?
Yeah, I talked
earlier. Okay, so you know the history of Len and all that. Unfortunately, we put the cart before the horse, because before we can get any builders to give us a guesstimate on the cost, they want a drawing. And we have an artist rendering and not an architectural drawing. So two fabricators of basically the arch timbers would appear to be the most unique design element. I have expressed 100% interest in doing it, but they just need the specifications.
Yeah, we talked about having engineering done on the project, because you can't just throw a slab up and you got to...
No.
The village is no different than a person. In wanting to have something done, we have to come up with plans too. Yeah.
But it certainly is an impressive looking design, and it fits the location, and I think it would be, you know, something we could all be proud of. I hope it gets built.
Okay. Youth committee.
So the sixth annual tie-dyeing workshops were held at the Village Commons on August 14th and 16th, and they really were an enormous success. Like everyone else is complaining this summer, we were plagued with thunderstorms and downpours, and it was really, the skies were threatening, but people showed up, and somehow we managed to get everything done in that little window of opportunity that we had when it didn't rain, so that was great. Approximately 90 t-shirts were completed, and so since we never charge any admission, we asked the dyers to please bring a non-perishable food item for the Nassau Resource Center. So this year, Trustee Forte delivered 50 pounds of food and a few cans of dog food as well, dropped off for the center, so we're very proud about that. I'd like to thank members of the youth committee, both members and friends, as we call them, who generously give of their time and talents. So my sincere thanks go out to Lori Clark, Village Trustee Guy Forte, Sue Forte, Patricia Piniasek, Patricia Saar, Margaret Van Dusen, and I guess myself. Now, the following, a few days after that, Trustee Forte, Sue, myself, attended the annual Town of Nassau Youth Committee and their community friends, which was Saturday, August 18th. They held their annual Family Fun Day at the Chandler Young Veterans Association. They prefer to be called the Veterans Association, by the way, and not the VFW anymore. Unfortunately, we had set up under the pavilion, and the rain was just torrential. I mean, practically the whole event, it rained and rained and rained. However, we had wonderful food, which was donated by volunteers, and again, everything was free of charge. We had Boy Scout troop. I'd like to really thank the Boy Scout troop, 166. Those boys were really heads up. They were terrific. When we realized that we couldn't play games outside, they lugged everything inside into the newly redecorated main building and set everything up. Kids were able to play their games, get their prizes, and that was a lot of fun. And then they tore everything down, and then they set up chairs, and we had some wonderful entertainment, circus performers who actually one of them is related to one of the members of the youth committee. And they did a wonderful circus performance. That was Amy and Dave. They were terrific. So we actually wound up having a wonderful idea, a wonderful time, actually. And the rain stopped just at 2:30. The event was supposed to go until 3. Stopped at 2:30, and the Boy Scouts rushed the kids out, and they got the water out of the Bouncy Bounce house. And when we left, kids were bouncing around and having a great time. So despite the weather, we managed to somehow get our youth committee. Both committees managed to get their events in this year, so we were very, very happy about that. So, thank you.
Thank you. ZBA, nothing going on. Planning board?
Nothing.
Nothing. Zoning review, I think I already reported on that. So we have a meeting coming up on, I think it's October 2nd, isn't it?
Ninth?
Or, yeah, the next one's in October, right?
October 9th.
October 9th. The next meeting of the committee, so. It's at, yeah, it's at 6 o'clock.
Where are you having that?
We're having it here.
Well, that's a court night.
Yeah, I know. We'll probably meet in the other room there. So. So then we have another one set up for the 24th, if necessary. And then after that, we should have things wrapped up to where we can start sending things out and getting some feedback. Okay. Sidewalk project.
Well, the only thing I know about it is that the surveying was done a few weeks ago. It is complete, and when I talked to LaBarge today, they said that they're still waiting on the final paperwork.
Okay. So, well, more to be next week, next month.
Right.
Speed limits. So, Dave, you have something on those? Dave Grunberg?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was a draft local law that went out, and I sent everybody a memo about the sort of the caps on what we can do. I think the proposal was on particular streets to reduce the speed to 20 miles an hour. And the way the law is set up is we can reduce, we can do an area speed limit, that is village-wide, down to 25 miles an hour, not down to 20. And of course, that wouldn't necessarily apply to state routes that run through. In other words, we're putting that speed limit on.
Yeah, we're not changing
the speed limit on 20.
Right.
So we could go that way. The alternative, you can also reduce in specific areas down to 15 miles per hour. That would be around, okay. That'd be around schools and stuff. So if you want to give me direction on, or if you have a consensus as to how you want to go, I can draft somebody up. Because I think what Guy did was kind of a smart, you know, and put it alphabetically so everybody can see it. And maybe we just change what Guy did and make it 25. Did you put every street in, Guy? Did you? Okay. So maybe we just change it from 20 to 25, and then it seems like we have the power to do it, I think, from what I can see from this monograph on.
Yeah, I would think that an area, we go in an area speed limit of 25, that would cover Tremont Phillips, Westbrook Drive, Maple, and all of that. Leave the 20-mile zone at for the school zone, because that's already marked anyway. And
yeah, I'm looking at them. Did I send folks the monograph from the Conference of Mayors? Let me see if I did.
I don't recall seeing that. But.
Okay, no, I did send out the NICOM monograph. This was done about 2006, but I don't think it's changed. And what it says is, they characterize it as area speed limits. Area speed limits may be established for all highways within a specified area of the municipality, except those specifically excluded. This is the village speed limit or the city speed limit. Area speed limits may not be less than 30 miles an hour. And then the reducing it on certain streets, particular highways, you can reduce it to not less than 25 miles an hour. And then school speeds can't be less than 15 miles an hour. So we can reduce specific streets or specific areas along a portion of a highway at 25 miles an hour, but that looks like that's all we can do.
So we can't just have an area speed limit, we have to actually post every street?
Yeah, you'd have to, we can't just say that the village speed limit is 25, it's gotta be 30, because that's the general default, I guess, as low as we can go according to this. And then we can do, along a particular highway or part of a highway, we can set it at 25, but we'd have to outline it and specify what streets we were gonna do and where to where. And I don't know, Guy, if you went through this.
I just went to the streets, I didn't say like from this section.
You did an inventory of streets and just said boom, 20 miles. So I don't know if there are some areas where you wanna lower it. I mean, the good thing is then in specific areas where you think you might have a problem, you gotta lower speed limit. The bad thing is you get a patchwork of signs and, you know, half fast you go here and half fast you go there, so.
I mean, I think like over on Westbrook, you know, 30 miles an hour is just not practical.
Yeah, no, it's a circle. But what I, you know, I agree 25 would be better. 20 is too slow, you know, it definitely is. 25 would be better.
But and sorry to interrupt, but your argument for the making it different than 20 was basically that everyone would be speeding. Everyone is, I'm saying this publicly, everyone speeds now. The idea of lowering the speed limit is to, and by everybody I mean a lot of people, not every single person every time they drive. That's the caveat. So the idea is to reduce the speed limit, and I have 25 is fine with me. I'm not arguing with 20, because that's the law. We're not going to change that. The idea is to reduce them even more so that when they do speed inevitably at 27, 28, 32, it's lower than 40 that they're going to go when the speed limit is 30. I think it just makes sense. The enforcement of this is going to be enforced like every other speed limit. There's discretion. I mean, it's not like we're going to sit there at 1 mile an hour and say, oh, speeding, and, you know. Technically, you could, but we don't do it that way here. So, I think 25 is fine.
But and, you can only do the 25 on certain designated streets or areas, so you just got to let me know where you want to do that, and we'd have to post it and so forth.
Yeah.
You have, and my only concern is this street here, and we talked about putting 25 to the village and then 30 for the rest, because there's kids at the pond. Okay, so not just to
the end,
right to here, because I've driven by and there's kids on bicycles somehow in the park and stuff. So again, everybody speeds, not everybody, but like you said, I mean, so it's
well, you're coming up a more rural area there where it's kind of, you know, when you're going through an area that's more densely populated, just somehow psychologically it seems to kind of constrain your speed, you know, because you have a lot of narrow. Well, when you come down here, it's like you're on a country road.
I like Maxine's suggestion too. I mean, if we have, you know, things that are letting people know their speed, that's definitely helpful. We also got to look, you know, I mean, have we had a lot of problems the way it is with 30? I mean, 25, I am for 25, no doubt. But you got to look too. I mean, I don't think on Westbrook Drive, I don't know anybody who's ever gotten hit by a car. And I've lived there my whole life. You know, just
one.
Well, I know. I hear you, and I'm saying 25 is fine, but you got to look at that too. You know, you got to see, you know, why are we doing this? I understand, because, you know, we have more kids now. We have this rail trail coming. But let's just be smart about it. That's all.
Well, and we're responding to the residents too. The residents came in and asked for a lower speed limit.
And I agree with that in Westbrook Drive, no doubt about it.
There's some issues.
I live on Elm Street. You want to hear the traffic. You want to hear the cars come from the light past my house. They're not going 30. They're going 50, 55. Okay.
Well, then,
Maxine, you're not around when I'm around.
Changing it down to 25 is not going to stop them from going 50.
I hear it all the time. They're flying. I mean, in big trucks. But, I mean, you may not be seeing it, but...
But changing that speed limit 5 miles per hour is not going to stop those people.
No, I'm just saying.
You know, that's all, you know.
No, I agree. I'm not advocating for it to change either, but... I'll tell my wife I said that.
No, I'm just, Maxine, I'm not cutting my grass all summer long. You might not be, and I'm telling you, they started the light I don't know how they make the corner.
And they come flying down Lake and County Route 7.
So Elm Street, there is a problem with speeding, but not...
Again, changing the speed limit is not going to make that stop.
Definitely, but I go so far as stop there because I saw an accident Thanksgiving that killed someone.
Prepare a list of streets and recommended limits, and then just something to put in front of us so we can review it. We can talk about it, we can amend it if we want to.
You can send it down to me if you want.
Yeah.
Your format seems to be the work.
Yeah, I'll just send it to everybody.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So...
But it is confusing, that's the first thing, excuse me if I can speak out, because this is obviously something that affects all of us, 24/7. But the first, the most confusing thing that happened when I moved back here was the patchwork quilt of speed limit changes. They never made sense to me, and I have traveled quite extensively throughout the United States and lived for 35 years in another state. So I have a point of relevance that goes beyond Elm Street. And if you raise, there needs to be a rationale to raise the speed limit, and signage costing needs to be involved when it comes to safety. If there are kids on those side streets, there's a playground here, I could definitely see it. And if all the streets are going to be 25, then okay. Elm Street is just one of the streets that's going to be 25. But if you can't, my understanding is that Albany Avenue is not under our control.
Correct.
Correct? So the speed limit is 35 as you're coming at that light.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I don't even remember, there may be one where you get used to seeing things. I think I noticed a sign now. I know obviously it's 30 miles an hour on Elm Street. And I do my best to conform to that speed. I want to conform to the speed. But that to me, 30 seems to be reasonable. And if there are speeders and the trucks, they're not going to give a darn whether it's 25 or 35. They're going to get a ticket either way. It's a question of how much money and how much revenue is produced by going 25 miles an hour over the speed limit or not. So I'm just saying, what is practicable? And are we sending a message that we have this patchwork of speed limits that's going to entangle people? That's not the message we want to send out when we have $1 million of grant money on the table trying to improve our village.
Well, I think it's going to be pretty uniform when we get done. So next month, Guy will present the streets. We'll talk about them.
Okay.
Make them public. Folks will have an opportunity to voice in at the end of the meeting, okay? And then after that, if we agree that that is going to be it, or if we make changes, it'll be followed up by a public hearing, okay? And then again, some discussion, and then vote, and you know, to change the law. So it's a process, and there is plenty of opportunity for local input. Because, I mean, this is everybody's village here, so, yeah.
Right.
So we want to make sure that everybody gets an opportunity to voice their concerns. But I think the best way to approach this is to get something in writing in front of us so that we have a working document and that we can amend or approve as it is, if that's the case, and then send it to a public hearing, publicize it, notifications go out to the residents that we're considering this, invite them to come in to speak on the thing, and then we'll make a decision.
Okay, that sounds just about right.
Okay, good. All right, so we'll look for that next one. So new business, we have pump house instrumentation and telemetry chain upgrades. So we have before us here an engineering proposal. So you want me to talk on this, or do you want to?
You can.
Okay, so...
My birthday, I don't care.
The pump houses...
Just kidding.
You know, even though they've gone some, over some, you know, some upgrades since I was on the board in the 90s, they still kind of operate the same way. It's all manual. There is a little bit of, there's some telemetry between the tank and the pumps as to when they come on and when they go off. But all of the recording and the operation other than turning the pumps on and off is all manual. So we rely on a maintenance person, either Jay or Pete. They come in 7 days a week. They record the meter reading so we know what kind of pump flows we're using, how much water we're pumping on a daily basis. They record the chlorine content in the water, how much chlorine got pumped. They record all this information. We think that the best way at this point in time, and they come in on Saturdays and Sundays, which we have to pay for them to come in on the weekend to make these recordings, because it is required that these things, by state law, it's required that these items are recorded on a daily basis.
And that's a 4-hour trip every time they come in.
And it's not a 4-hour trip, but it's a 2-hour trip. But it is, you know, it's something we negotiated, but I mean, it gets expensive after a while, you know, so. So we're looking at the possibility of upgrading the system, which would actually require new equipment. So we require new recorders, new instrumentation to monitor the flows, and so we need a new meter. We need a new chlorine monitor to be able to monitor the chlorine content. But all this could be recorded and computerized and set up. So we're considering, I think it's a good idea that we look at a price to do this. The guy that actually takes care of the pump houses and does the instrumentations for us has an engineering firm that he works with that does specifically this type of work. We asked them for a proposal to put a bid package together so that we could determine what the cost of this is. So right now, what we have before us is a proposal to do the engineering work. So we've got proposal for complete services containing this proposal for design phase services. They would handle all the bidding services and the construction administration services, and the price for that would be $13,100. So that's you know, do all the drawings, spec out all the equipment, put the bid packages together, get the bids out to the various contractors that are interested in bidding it, evaluate the bids to determine the most lowest responsible bidder, and then again making sure that the work is done in accordance with the plans and specifications as designed. So we could look at that, we could get this done, take the bids in. Of course, every bid that we put out there, it states that the village reserves the right to reject any and all bids. So if we feel that this is too much or more than we want to spend at the construction phase, we can always reject it and stay with things the way we are. And then, you know, we're out 13 grand, but we always got the bid documents for the future if we decide to go that way.
And they also oversee the project.
That's additional, $3,800.
Right, but they're going to oversee the projects and have a kickoff meeting, and so, you know, it's a big package deal.
Mm-hmm. Dave?
The construction administration services, is that being construction managers, or is that overseeing?
Yeah, they would just, you know, so when a bidder is selected, they do submittals and things, and then they may not submit on the exact brand and, you know, type of, you know, say meter that was spec'd out. So they might have spec'd out a Hershey meter, and they may submit on a Magellan or something. So these guys would evaluate the two meters to make sure they're
comparable.
Well, if they're doing the bid phase services, they're going to be putting the bids out to these contractors. You know, they're going to, obviously, these contractors should know what they're doing. So to pay somebody $4,100 to oversee them, and another $3,800, that's where I see we're wasting money on this construction project management. If, you know, you have a design company go out and do a design, they should be able to warrant their design. If they're going to put out the bid packages, they're, you know, they're putting them out to companies who know what they're doing. So these companies should be able to do their construction. Well, and then in the end, the engineer has to sign off anyway. So to spend the $4,100.
Well, that's part of the construction administration services for them to sign off.
Well, that's just my, that's my concern, is that on the construction project management, it seems a little steep there.
Did you read
But I think that the, I disagree in a sense, because governments and municipalities are required to allow anybody who wants to bid a project to bid a project. And you have to disqualify them if you don't want them to bid a project. So you, I mean, we have to, would have to go out and make a determination that this contractor that gave us a price is not a competent contractor. So, and that's a very, very difficult thing to do.
When you
have a construction manager that's the engineer that designed this, and this guy comes in with, he specs out XYZ meter, and this guy, you know, wants to put in ABC meter, he can say to the guy, hey, this isn't the same thing, it doesn't do the same thing, it's not the same. That's not the same product.
That would be in their design. It would specify exactly what, you know, design, what you're using as far as
right. So they're going to come in and they're going to look at that and they're going to say, okay, we bid the job and here's the meter we're going to give you. So who's going to make the determination that that meter is the meter we, that was spec'd out, and that's the meter we want?
Well, it should be in the design. They should spec out exactly what they want us to use.
And then, yes, and when he submits on a meter and we say, yeah, that's a good meter, and it turns out that it's not the same meter that's in the bid, well, they just turn around and say, hey, you said it was okay.
Well,
I've been down that road.
Yeah, no, I've been down that road many, many times. You know, that's what I do. So, you know, I just see that being an expense that we could probably not have to pay, you know, just by, you know, having somebody oversee, you know, pay Jay an extra, you know, $200 a week to...
Jay's not competent.
But if you look, you know, if you have a design, if the engineer's going to give me a design, it's going to say you're going to use Bell Laboratories, water, you know, whatever it is. So then when, you know, we get to the construction end, we make sure that, okay, did you put in the Bell Laboratories water meter, whatever it may
be. No, I didn't put in Bell, I put in Questar.
Well, then they got to, then they got to replace it and put in what's spec'd in the design. That's the contractor's problem.
You can't do that. That's illegal.
They have to do per design, or the engineer to sign off.
You cannot spec a particular item by name. That is illegal. You can say what that item has to do, what its properties are, but it can be a Hershey or it can be a Magellan. You have to have somebody to say that, yes, this model Hershey and this model Magellan are equal.
You can tell, if you're paying for it, you can tell them what you want them to use.
No, you can't. Okay. You can't do it. I'm telling you, it's illegal. It's illegal. You can't do it.
To tell them that we want you to use this particular?
No, you can't. You cannot do that.
Yeah, you can't specify, like, you want to buy a front loader, you can't specify, you know, it's got to be a Caterpillar front loader. You can be cute about it and say it ought to be painted yellow with black light things on it and all that. You know, they play all kinds of games with this stuff. You know, like Caterpillar makes a box.
So we can word it to make it. You know,
well, you got to be careful with that. What you're supposed to do when you put out the bid is tailor it to what the job requires and not be cute like in the front loader thing.
So
describe the box as something that just fits within the parameters
So what would be the difference then if they go out and they're doing the construction management and they say, okay, we want you to use, you know, the Bell water.
Well, they're
and then, bits. And then the contractor goes out and uses something different.
Right.
It's the same situation.
No. Well, this is the thing, is he will say, I want you to use the Bell water or equal. and it's the or equal part.
Well, can't we do that?
So now, well, we can. But who's going to make that determination?
They might say, we want a meter that measures such and such capacity at such and such a rate and has a size of such and such, or whatever the parameters are for these meters, because I assume they make them whatever they are.
Right, but normally they give you a model number of some type of meter, and they always put the or equal after it. You know, so if I say I want a Smith water heater, you know, a 40-gallon propane that, you know, that puts out so many BTUs, model number such and such are equal, and the guy comes back and he's got a GE, and it's, you know, it's a 40-gallon and it's propane and it puts out the same number of BTUs, and, you know, you go through the specs and on it and say, okay, yeah, they're the same thing. There's just a different manufacturer. You can use that. And you have to make that determination and tell him he can use that. That goes through the submittal process, and that's all part of the bid administration, contract administration.
All right. Well, I'm just saying, I think we could probably save money on that end, but...
Well, this is, the 13 grand is nothing compared to what the construction piece is going to be. And I don't want to spend the money on the construction and not get what we want.
Can we find out on average what the construction is going to be so that we don't get to that point where we waste 13 grand and decide, hey, you know what?
We're not going to waste 13 grand.
Well, you know what I mean.
The construction's still there. We may decide that, yeah, we can't budget it this year, but we have the bid package that we... It's not money wasted. We're going to have...
You can use that at any time.
At any time. So it's not like...
Okay, so, and you only pay for what you do. So if we only do the design phase and the bid phase, then we get a price and we say we're not going to go forward, then there is no design. There's no construction services. Because we're not constructing.
He's just giving us a...
But, you know, it's... we have to decide, do we want to automate this so that, you know, we don't have to have the guys come in on the weekend. We have better control of things even overnight. You know, these things they're going to be alarmed so that if something drops out, it should make a phone call to somebody. You know, either, you know, myself or Randy or 911 or somebody. And, you know, so we get notified right away there's a problem. You know, so this is really, you know, going to be a good system if we get around.
The way it is right now, when Jay and Pete leave at 3 o'clock, we don't know if there's a problem in the pump house or the pump until they come in.
No, I'm for the system. I'm definitely for moving forward as far as, you know, upgrading the system. It's just, you know, cost wise, I think we can save the village money. That's all. I'm always concerned about spending, you know, more money than we have to.
All right. So we're looking at that. So we have a Bicentennial has a flyer they would like to send out with the water bills. Do you guys see this, or does everybody have one of these?
Well, they didn't submit the flyer yet. They just want us to put it in. When the copy comes over, I'll forward it to you guys.
Okay. So nobody has a problem with that anyway, right? Yeah.
Okay. Marsha. Says he would like to send a letter or flyer to the residents with a short update asking for donations to the Pavilion Fund with a space for suggestions for celebratory events and blah 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 with the approval of the board. They want to put it. Apparently you guys have discussed it or tossed it out there, and she was just checking to see if it can go out in the water bills, because, you know, that's coming up.
Coming up before the next meeting, so they're just looking for permission if they get something together, so I guess.
And may affect the postage depending on the weight of
what's... No, one page is not gonna. I had only time the postage is affected is when we send the annual water report, because it's like 10 pages.
That was a consideration.
Yeah, that was 22 cents over every single one of them.
Okay. All right, so we'll... No problem with that. Everybody's okay with that, right?
No problem.
Okay. So, open the floor for public comment prior to resolutions. Maxine.
Yes, I just wanted to speak on the rail trail and direct to Mr. Forte. Trustee Forte, I did have concerns when you speak to Mr. Andy Beers, and my environmental concerns as far as I could see, when a report first came out, a written report that was posted online, not one of my environmental concerns did I see addressed. Is it possible that I missed something? Yes. I haven't reread it in a long time, and I didn't reread it before I came here today, but I would be happy to reread it. But I expected those environmental concerns, which were not trivial, which were mentioned in the master plan and all the other documents that were referenced by the master plan, should have been addressed, or at least I need an understanding of how they will be addressed. The second thing that came up very recently, was about 2 weeks ago, the company that's going to apply pesticides stopped by and knocked on my door and gave me some written materials. Now, this pesticide is going to be along the boundary area that's in back of my edge and everybody else's edge of the rail trail, and they are going to use those pesticides, I think, in more than one area. But it definitely abuts my property. Now, I am very sensitive to all of these chemicals, and at the time, you know, he's not making the decision, so I didn't pursue any lengthy conversation with him. But one of the chemicals from Dow Company, their product Rodeo, is glyphosate. And if anybody is aware, glyphosate is the chemical that, oh, by the way, 53% of this product is glyphosate. Glyphosate is the product, is the ingredient, the chemical that is in Roundup by Monsanto. And organizations such as the World Health Organization have been after them for quite a long time as a likely carcinogenic. There was recently awarded, and this was just on the news and all over the website, a $289 million lawsuit against Monsanto because of its toxic effect, and it made the person in the suit was awarded, and he had contracted non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So this is going to be applied, that particular chemical I mentioned, and there's another bunch of chemicals that have ominous sounding names, and certainly all of them contain the warning agricultural chemical, and they have a whole list of warnings. My point is very specific. This is a likely carcinogenic, according to a recent judgment, and according to the facts, not necessarily agreed upon by our government. Our government has allowed many things to poison our air, water, and soil, and corrupt our food source. So just because it's allowed doesn't mean it's safe. And we should know this, and all we have to do is look to Hoosick Falls and our own area, Rensselaer County, that has not one but two toxic sites in Rensselaer County. So my complaint is there is no way that I can get away from this, and that's going to be applied on the end of my property. And if I'm downwind of it, it's going to be all around. So I do have a major concern. So please pass that along to him, and I may contact you, because I have had trouble getting in contact after they first came out and they did a little survey. I walked and talked to them. When I tried to call them back, I couldn't get hold of them. I sent them emails and nobody responded. So I feel that my concerns, and I may not be alone, but if I am alone, that's okay too. But my concerns were not being addressed. So maybe you can intercede and voice this to Mr. Beers, because this is something that I will not step away from because I physically can't. Even if I wanted to sell my house right away, I wouldn't be able to do that. Thank you for listening.
And I just want to let you know that the last time I talked to Andy on the phone, I mentioned several people on Elm Street. You are one of them. He said that he was going to follow up with you. If he has not, I will call him again and tell him to follow up.
Thank you. And I would like to see my concerns written in that report because they should be. That's one of their requirements, that they write a document and document these environmental concerns that people have raised. I'm not saying they're not going to try to take care of them, but as far as I'm concerned, they haven't been addressed. And he needs to point, here it is in the report, we are going to perform tests A, B, C, D, and before we give this the environmental clearance. I've read a few reports, and I even went back to the master plan for Grafton State Park. I did some research on that for other environmental reasons. And every single complaint, there were dozens and dozens and dozens of complaints. Every single complaint was addressed, every single one, point by point. So that's what I'm expecting. So thank you very much for mentioning. And if there's a way that I can reach him or talk to him, could you please let me know?
Will do.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, anything else under public comment? Resolutions, October water rates. Set the October 2018-19 water bill rates as follows. Base water rate for one or two people is $116 for 6 months, and an each additional person in the house at $16 for 6 months. Residents outside the village will pay 1 1/2 the amount of the residential village rate. Commercial water rates will remain the same. There will be an additional line on the water bill, WPB-01, at $50 per unit. This is to pay for the water tank and Route 20 water project. This charge will be on the water billing every 6 months until the final bond payment in year 2025. So this is $20 lower than it had been. So that was the reduction we had talked about previously. Entertain a motion for that resolution.
Make a motion.
Motion by Randy.
I'll second.
Second by Dave. Any questions on it? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion's carried. Need a motion to move $12,000 from fund balance to 80104 CE zoning.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Guy.
$12,000
from fund balance to 80104 CE zoning.
Okay. Thank
motion you. By Guy. Do I get a second?
Second.
Second by Randy. Any questions?
I swear we really had this before.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion's carried. Refund of duplicate payments. I'll do the three of them at once. Property 211.11-4-2 in the amount of $758.03 duplicate tax payments. Property 211.20-2-3.1 in the amount of $224.22 a duplicate water payment. Property 211.12-4-19 in the amount of $228.26 a duplicate water payment.
Make the motion.
Motion by Guy, second by David. Any questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion is carried. Ask for a motion to approve the MJ Engineering and Land Surveying quote for engineering on the telemetry project in the pump house.
Up to the $13,100, not to exceed that.
Yeah, well,
just
up to the bid part.
Yeah, all right, I make a motion.
Motion by Randy.
Second.
Second by Guy. Any questions?
Yeah, is it What number are we going with?
$13,100.
All right, thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Am I missing any resolutions like I usually do?
No, just pay the bills.
Just pay the bills. Okay, you got it. Bills number 114 through 150, in the amount of $26,350.61 in the general fund and $10,617.24 in the water fund. $2,927 even paid outside of abstract and $221,442.72 in the capital fund, $8,397.2 water valve project. Motion by Randy. Second by Dave. Any questions on the bills? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Adjournment's in order.
Motion to adjourn.
Randy.
Second.
Dave. All in favor?
Aye.
All, any opposed?